WPHK and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
With that, we had one of the longer points in the male versus female, the intersexual, intersectional, intergender, I don't know, the male-female fight. You had the battle of the sexes. Did you see this? This was...
No, I did not see this.
Oh my God, this was all of social media yesterday. Was everybody sharing their opinion about the Nick Kyrgios, and I'm sorry if I say his name wrong, I apologize, and... Aryna Sabalenka, battle of the sexes, the man playing the woman in tennis. She is ranked number one. He has not played more than a handful of matches in the last 2 years, suffering injuries, and is ranked, what's his number, 240-something, I think.
Wow, number one versus number 240-something?
And they played, okay, and they played, and who won? Take a stab.
The number one player in the world, the girl.
No.
Oh, come on.
You knew that wasn't going to be true.
I was trying to give my, you know.
6-3, 6-3. They played women's rules, basically. I mean, they didn't play, but they played, you know, 2 out of 3 sets. 6-3, 6-3. He won. That's a pretty dominating performance. But there's more to the story than that. And the more to the story than that is, if you watched any of it, and maybe you did not, okay? A lot of people did. They paid like $800 to go watch this in person. This is in Dubai. It's always in Dubai. She was playing hard. He was returning her hits, is how I would describe it. He was definitely not playing at full power. Now, he's been injured, so you might say, well, he shouldn't be playing at full speed. Yeah, speed and power are different things. And he was definitely not playing at full power. And it was not traditional tennis. Here's why. Number one, no first serve. Everything was a second serve. What that means is there's no second serve. And so you get it in on the first serve or else you lose a point.
You don't get a second serve?
No, this was one of the rules that they were playing by was first, you know, single serve, which means every serve is a second serve in practice. You might say, well, I think every serve is the first serve. No, because there is no second serve. Therefore, every serve is actually a second serve. It's as if your first serve faulted. So the serves are therefore harder or easier. Well, easier by a lot. Very easy. Also, okay. Also, the court was smaller on her side. Now, the reason for the court being smaller, this is actually important, is because statistically, the company that put this on studied this, and they said that statistically, women are 9% slower than men. Therefore, the court should be 9% smaller, giving her, you know, less room to cover with her slow female body, is essentially what they were saying. You could have lots of quibbles about this. You know, well, should it be 4.5%? You know, should it be 18%? That doesn't matter. The court was smaller. And if you play tennis, the size of the court here, you'll immediately recognize is a big deal. Huge deal. It's only 9%, which doesn't sound like that much. But for instance, the depth of the service line for balls that are in or out on a serve on a regular court, as in on his side, was 21 feet. Normal distance. On her side was 19.11 feet. Think of a court and think of how many of your serves fall within the last 2 feet of depth of the service area.
I'm just lucky to get it in.
But that's the point.
I want an extra large court.
But 2 feet is a lot.
It is.
That's a huge gap. So that means no fast serves from him. Not really. No first serves. All the serves have to be built to get within 2 feet of depth of the normal service line, which means they're even that much less. She's actually serving from closer in because her baseline is closer. It was 35 feet versus 39 feet, so 4 feet closer, which means more easy. And so there was a lot of like it's not quite tennis kind of stuff about this. So he won. Now, remember, back in the, like, 70s, there's actually been a bunch of these Battle of the Sexes over the years. Billie Jean King actually won one very famously back in the 70s, I think. But the guy she played, who won one before, like, he played a Battle of the Sexes with a woman who'd just been returning from pregnancy. Or it was some, anyway, but Billie Jean King really surprised him. He was in his 50s, and she was not quite at her peak, but pretty close to her peak. I think a little bit older. And, you know, she beat him playing really hard. And she won, for sure. Most of the time, that does not happen. And they did not play special rules in that match. So that's why that was actually kind of interesting, except for the fact that he was much older. And the much older is a big difference. I mean, he was in his 50s when he played, so obviously not in his key prime. So what to make of it? Well, we'll come back to that in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Well, still rolling accident-free and even delay-free this morning. Not seeing anything to slow you down except for my serve. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Nice. 437-1620 if you want to weigh in on this. But this exhibition match, which, you know, he won. She won some games. It wasn't 6-0, 6-0. But again, I think that the structure of it all heavily favored the female. It wasn't real. It was not at all a fair competition straight up, which I think if they had done that, you know, you would have had a very different outcome. And again, he was not, I don't think, based on watching it, you know, or at least a little bit of it, was not playing full out. So then, you know, what did they have to say afterwards? Well, Anya, Sabalenka. Sabalenka.
Yeah, honestly, I think it was an amazing experience today. The starting from walk on the court and playing against the guy, I'm really proud of myself that I was so brave to put myself out there against the guy, and I was able to bring. I felt like such a great tennis.
I don't actually think it's brave so much as it's like for her, it's a win-win. For him, it's a lose-lose, right? If he wins, well, of course, he was supposed to win. And if he loses, oh, my God. And if she wins, of course, you know, it's huge. And if she loses, well, she wasn't supposed to, you know. But, okay, I mean, still, you know, she showed up on an international stage and played against a guy on a smaller court with, you know, unusual rules.
So much fun. And I'm glad that I feel like we showed the world that tennis event can be so entertainment, so fun, so, I mean, unpredictable and interesting, and I really hope for me the only goal I had is make sure that whoever came to watch, whoever was watching on the TV, enjoyed it, and I really hope they did because that was my goal.
I think a lot of people were confused by it and were watching it and thinking, what am I watching? By the way, the reaction to this thing has been vehemently negative. I don't have that same reaction. I just think that if a female tennis player and a male tennis player play, the male wins. Unless he's old and she's in her prime, I mean, that's what's going to happen. If you put all of these, you know, stack the deck, so to speak, in her favor, and you'd get a guy who's basically been injured and he's, you know, he's a ranked pro. And he's, by the way, he's no slouch historically. But, you know, of course, this is the outcome you're going to get. The only thing that was a surprise here is that she won 3 games in each set, honestly. And she's great at tennis, but she plays women's tennis, and that is a different sport. We'll get to that in a second. Anyway, she says she wants revenge. She wants to do it again. You know, thinks she'll win him the second time.
I really enjoyed it, and I really want to do it again. And I really, as everyone knows, I love revanches, and I would put myself out there again, and I would make sure that I bring a better tennis. Yeah.
Yeah, and who knows? On a given day, I mean, I suppose you don't know, again, because it's not an even-up match, but, you know, I didn't watch it this time. I probably wouldn't watch it again.
He called himself unpredictable player, but honestly, I kind of like could see pretty much everything. It's just that
he's not so sneaky.
His physical abilities are much higher, and he was stronger and faster with the acceleration and everything. So, but yeah, that was fun.
Right. Of course, he's stronger and faster. Of course, even though he's the 200th best player in the world right now, of course.
It was fun, and there was a great preparation for the season. I feel like physically I'm more than ready, and I think tennis-wise I pull out a great tennis, which always matters.
Oh, by the way, I lied. Not 200th, 671st ranked in the world right now. So even lower than I had been saying. My apologies. I didn't say it wrong on purpose. But she says a great preparation. And by the way, that's true. Female athletes playing a sport against male athletes is great preparation for them playing against other females, because it's the old rule, if you, you know, play a better person, that's how you get better. We used to do this in volleyball. The girls would play against the guys because the guys are better, and it teaches them how to handle faster, higher, stronger, you know, all of the things that, you know, men generally are better at sports in. Well, not all sports, but, you know, particular ones that feature those elements. So she says she doesn't understand how, you know, anybody would be upset about this. It wasn't 6-0. His comments were also very interesting.
Let me just remind you, I'm one of 16 people that have ever beaten the big four in the world. Andy Murray, Djokovic, Federer, and Nadal have all lost to me.
Long time ago.
And she just proved that she can go out there and compete against someone that's beaten the greatest of all time. There's nothing but positive that can be taken away from this. And I had to work for it. I had to sweat. I had to play. I had to run. Like, it was not easy. Nothing came easy. So let's put that narrative out there rather than all the negativity.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not that it was a walkover. It was 6-3, 6-3, okay? And he did have to work, and he was sweating at the end. And I am sure, I don't know, people might mishear me, but if you went far enough down the rankings, you would eventually come to a guy that she would beat, even straight up. I mean, not to belabor the obvious, but, you know, I play tennis, not great. You know, she would destroy me. It's not that all guys are better than all girls. It's that the best guys are better than the best girls. And that the middle guys are better than the middle girls, because the guys are stronger and faster than the women. I mean, that it's amazing what sort of gender stupidity will make you say and make you believe. Well, women and men are equal. No, they're not. Why do we have women's sports? Because men and women are not equal. Period. Well, some women. Yeah, but that's not the right comparison. They are, if you looked at it on a chart, you know, men on a scale, let's say, go from 5 to 10, and women on the scale go from, you know, 2 to 7 or whatever. There's overlap in the middle. The best are better than the worst, but that's not true of across the board. If you looked at them as bell curves or any other way you want to look at it, the best are better than the best, the middle are better than the middle, and the worst are better than the worst when it comes to men. So now he had interesting comments about the media on this.
And the thing is, everyone that was negative watched. That's the funny thing about it as well. Like, this has been the most talked about event probably in sport in the last 6 months. If we looked about how many interactions we had on social media, in the news, whatever it is. So anyone that was negative and that watched, they just love it. They just don't want to love it, but they do love it. And I'm sure the next time we do it, if I'm a part of it, and if she's a part of it, I'm sure it will be now a cultural movement that will happen more often. I think it's a step in the right direction.
You know, there is a truth in that. And the question is, were they watching, you know, great tennis, or were they watching something that was going to be just kind of weird and interesting? It was absolutely popular. He's right about that. You know, one of the most promoted, interesting, and like I said, it was all over social media yesterday.
So much negativity, and I think it's actually just you guys. First of all, the media loves to spread negativity for some dumb reason, you know, and the hate towards, you know, me wanting to go out there and challenge myself and play such a great player like Arena. You guys actually do it. I mean, I don't do it. I was always about this. I would love to do these events more. I think more events should be mixed. I love mixed doubles. I play all the mixed doubles events. I love when it's women and men at events.
Yeah, and again, I'm not even saying the event was bad. I'm just saying it was, you know, if you wanted an even contest to find out whether men and women are equal at sports, you didn't find it here. You found a very predictable outcome. And I didn't watch the whole thing, so I can't comment on whether the whole thing was interesting. But if you were looking, the Battle of the Sexes with Billie Jean King, maybe it was now Billie Jean King that was the one where she won. And now I forget if it was Martina or her, and it doesn't matter. That was like women looked at that as the great triumph, you know, the amazing thing that happened. Well, you know, I mean, he was 50 in his 50s. It's not, I mean, it was an overcoming, no doubt. And it was hard. It was a challenge. But what is it you're trying to prove? Are you trying to prove that at some point in their career, a woman can beat some man at some point in his career? I mean, of course, that's not even interesting. I mean, it might be entertaining, but as long as you put that aside, I don't have any problem with the event. I'm not trying to be negative on the event. I just think that the premise of, you know, women and men being interchangeable in sports is, I mean, dumb. It's so dumb. It's such a mistake.
Actually, the media, I think, needs to do a better job in stopping all this brainwashing of this division when there's none at all. We're great friends off the court.
I love that.
We have a great relationship. We're in the same agency, so Yeah, I think that, I mean, yeah, you guys have the utmost control of what you feed people. So I think you guys need to do a better job of that.
You remember what Serena Williams told David Letterman in 2013? Because at the time, Andy Murray was talking about playing her. And Serena's an amazing athlete. And Andy Murray is a very, very amazing athlete as well.
It's funny because Andy Murray, he was been joking about myself and him playing a match. And I'm like, Andy, seriously, like, are you kidding me? Because for me, tennis and men's tennis and women's tennis are completely almost two separate sports. So
that's right.
I'm like, if I were to play Andy Murray, I would lose 6-0, 6-0 in 5 to 6 minutes, maybe 10 minutes. Because it's true.
It would take longer than that. And it would be more competitive than that. But of course, she's exactly. And they are two different sports. Women playing against women, or playing against women is one sport. Playing against anybody is a different sport. She's right. The same rules may apply. The same equipment may be used, but they are different sports.
It's a completely different sport. The men are a lot faster, and they serve harder, they hit harder. It's just a different game. And I love to play women's tennis, and I only want to play girls because I don't want to be embarrassed. I would not do the tour. I wouldn't do Billie Jean any justice. So Andy, stop it.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna let you kill me.
I'm with you when it comes to tennis. I only want to play girls.
Yeah. Right. Oh, but it was Billie Jean King and Bobby Riggs. That's what it was. He was 55 years old. Former number one challenged Billie Jean King at the time was 29 when they played and she won. So anyway, just it's a fascinating cultural event. I think it's fascinating that so people are so angry about it, how it's ruined tennis and terrible tennis. I just look at it from the sort of gender inequality perspective that, you know, it proves the point that I don't think needs proving. Everybody knows, and somehow people are sort of in denial about it. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report, but if you're on Highway 29 approaching 10 Mile Road going southbound, you're going to see just some minor delays. But other than that, things are rolling smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 92% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs ranging from cosmetology and plumbing to nursing and aviation airframe mechanics. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for spring semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. Go here. Get there.
What's fun and happening in Pensacola? You'll find out as the City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation Department talks about it here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Join us today at 10 a.m. to find out what's going on in your resource centers, parks, recreation programs, and at the Community Maritime Park. It's a great month to get out and play Pensacola. Tune in today at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
10 athletes will face the toughest job interview in fitness
that will push past physical and mental breaking points.
You are the fittest of the fit.
Only one of you will leave here with an iFit contract for $250,000.
This is when mindset comes in.
Someone will be eliminated.
Pressure is coming down.
Trainer Games on Prime Video January 8th. Watch the trailer on trainergames.com.
The Pensacola Expert Panel. Pep Talk. Mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Look, I got to get back to school. Want to practice parking?
What's the point? Everywhere you go has valet.
You talk sad like a police. I've got to find some better weeds. 4 or 5 meters.
Oh my God, the Babylon Bee is so good. Babylon Bee posted yesterday one of their satire stories. Governor Waltz announces $8 billion grant to Somali company to investigate fraud. It's pretty good.
Yeah, that is.
Pretty good. Steve Taylor is in the newsroom with our headlines. Steve?
President Trump's out with warnings for both Hamas and Iran, speaking alongside Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu after their meeting in Florida. Trump says they'll be held to pay if Hamas does not stick to its promise to disarm as part of the Israeli-Hamas peace plan.
I'd like to see them disarm.
Yeah, I'd like to see that too. Look, Ma, no arms. He also vowed that the U.S. would go after Iran if the country tries to build up a missile stockpile. stockpile and reestablished its nuclear program. Well, it's good news for Red Sox fans who are planning a trip to Boston next season. Unionized Fenway Park concession workers reached an agreement under basically getting a new contract, trying to sum this up. It includes a whole lot of things that they wanted, but the last summer the workers went on strike for the first time in Fenway's 113-year history. First time they ever did that. But now there's no worries for the fans who thought they'd have to watch the game without the usual peanuts and popcorn and Cracker Jacks. And, of course, the beer. Got to have the beer.
Yeah. All right, Steve. Thanks so much for the update. 6:30 here on News Radio 92.3. Oh, by the way, 2006, 19 years ago today, former president of Iraq, Saddam Hussein, executed. It's been 19 years since Saddam Hussein was alive.
Wow. That's crazy.
Oh, my God. We're old, John.
I know, right?
I remember watching the invasion of Iraq on TV in my dorm room in college. 91. 91.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. There's been a 30th strike on a suspected drug smuggling boat, and President Trump says a little more about the first known land strike in Venezuela.
There was a major explosion in the dock area where they load the boats up with drugs. They load the boats up with drugs, so we hit all the boats, and now we hit the area. It's the implementation area. That's where they implement.
He spoke to reporters alongside Israel's Prime Minister Netanyahu and says there will be hell to pay if Hamas does not disarm soon.
And we don't want that. We're not looking for that, but they have to disarm within a fairly short period of time.
They met at the president's Mar-a-Lago club in Florida. Ukraine denies and says there's no evidence of a drone attack on one of Russian President Putin's homes. Russia says 91 drones were shot down and threatens retaliatory strikes in Ukraine. Ukraine's President Zelensky calls the claims another Russian lie. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 6:31 right now, 31 degrees and cold. I'm Steve Taylor in for David Wayne on News Radio 92.3. Authorities have arrested an 18-year-old man in connection with a robbery at a Pensacola gas station on Saturday night. The Escambia County Sheriff's Office says it happened about 10:50 p.m. at the Exxon in the 100 block of Navy Boulevard. Investigators say a person went into the store, approached an open cash register, and tried to take the money. That's when a confrontation broke out with another individual inside that store. Kylene Jermaine Dawson of Pensacola was identified as the suspect and arrested. He's been charged with second-degree robbery. Downtown Pensacola is ringing in the new year with fireworks for the first time in 2 years. The Downtown Improvement Board and Escambia County Commissioners are splitting the cost of that display, which will light up the sky at midnight from Seville Tower. Walker Wilson with the Downtown Improvement Board says the fireworks are the grand finale to the night's festivities. Longtime organizer Buck Mitchell with Seville Square is glad to see the fireworks come back.
Downtown Pensacola, Palafox Street, Government Street are going to be full. All the excitement and everybody looking forward to a great new year.
The fireworks cost under $10,000, and downtown business owners hope this marks the beginning of a new annual tradition for New Year's Eve. And while we are on the subject of downtown Pensacola, they're kicking off the 15th annual Mardi Gras season on Saturday. The celebration begins at 5 o'clock in Seville Quarter with opening ceremonies after 6:30. About 35 floats will be on display along Jefferson and Palafox in what the organizers are calling a parade in reverse. Basically, they let you walk up to the floats up close and interact with the crew members while you're there. A second line procession with a live brass band music is going to wind through downtown also, ending at the Artel Gallery, and they're going to cut the community king cake there. That's the latest and last, actually, major celebration in Palafox before the construction starts on Monday, reminding you of that event is coming up. But this event, by the way, is open to the public and it's free. But here's a reminder that street closures downtown begin at 3 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. Well, let's check our forecast from Channel 3.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We will have partly cloudy skies today with a high near 49 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 32. For Wednesday, 55 degrees with mostly sunny skies. And heading into your New Year's evening, temperatures dropping into the 40s. As you head into the new year on Thursday, mostly sunny skies, high near 61. And Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 48. Staying connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team, download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And now let's go to John Pickens for traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still rolling accident-free right now. Let's see here. I-10, I-110 look good. Just some minor delays on Highway 29 southbound as you approach 10 Mile Road. But other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks, John. Right now, it is cold. 31 degrees in Pensacola, 32 in Gulf Breeze, and 32 in Milton. Right now, it's 6:35. Next news is 7. Breaking news anytime. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The Pentagon says Boeing has been given an $8.6 billion contract for the F-15 Israel program after President Trump met with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in Florida. The Pentagon said the contract involved foreign military sales to Israel. Beyonce is officially a billionaire, becoming the fifth musician to achieve the wealth milestone. Forbes said Beyonce's husband, Jay-Z, was the first musical artist to become a billionaire in 2019. The elite club also includes Rihanna, Bruce Springsteen, and Taylor Swift. President Trump says he expects to announce his pick to replace Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell in January. Powell's term as chair expires in May, and Trump has been eager to see him gone, repeatedly slamming his leadership of the central bank. The Fed cut interest rates 3 times this year, but Trump said the latest cut on December 10th, quote, could have been doubled. Futures are slightly lower. On Monday, the Dow Industrials lost 249. That's your money now.
FIFA World Cup 2026 is coming soon, but your opportunity to be there starts now through an exclusive offer with an eligible Bank of America Visa credit card. For a limited time, become a new customized cash rewards or unlimited cash rewards Visa credit card holder, and you will be eligible for a chance to purchase FIFA World Cup 2026 tickets. Learn more at bofa.com/cardfwc26. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America, proud to be the official bank of FIFA World Cup 2026. Bank of America NA in partnership with Visa. Terms apply. Rights reserved.
Calling all nonprofits. If you serve Escambia or Santa Rosa County and could benefit from a grant of $100,000, Impact 100 invites you to a Link and Learn workshop on January 27th. I'm Martha Holden, president of Impact 100 Pensacola, and we've awarded over $18 million to organizations right here. To register for this free workshop and learn more about grants, check us out on Facebook or visit Impact100Pensacola.org. That's Impact100Pensacola.org.
Daniel will not stop crying. I've changed him, fed him, walked him around, and he's still crying. Now I'm panicking. What should I do?
It's okay. We're glad you called. We learned during the Period of Purple Crying program that babies tend to cry a lot in the first few months of life.
If nothing is working and you need a break, put the baby in a safe place and take a few minutes to walk away and calm down.
During the Period of Purple Crying, it is crucial to stay calm and never shake a baby. To learn more, visit PreventChildAbuseFL.org.
This message is sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida, the State of Florida, Department of Health, and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
CVS Health supports people in the moments that matter, from picking up a prescription to connecting care. With nearly 5 million daily interactions and serving 185 million consumers and 1.5 million healthcare professionals, CVS Health holds a trusted place in healthcare. By simplifying care and improving health, we're helping people get the care they need. Learn more at cvshealth.com/investorday.
Ready for intelligent and thought-provoking conversation? Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Guy Benson, the brilliant and charismatic host, brings you a fresh perspective on the biggest stories of the day. Guy keeps you engaged and informed. Don't miss out on the intellectual thrill ride. Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola from 2 till 4 p.m. It's the show that'll challenge your thinking and leave you wanting more. On News Radio Pensacola.
Down just because I turned my mic on.
I was anticipating.
Can't interrupt this. There you go. All right, fair enough. Now, 6:38 News Radio.
Is it okay now?
It is fine now. Yeah.
Okay.
You can do your thing. All right. iRobot is declaring bankruptcy. Did you see this story? You got a Roomba?
No, but I've tested for them before.
Yeah. Do you have a knockoff version, or what do you have?
No, it's called John's Hand. That's my knockoff version.
Okay, fair enough. So iRobot has been in financial trouble for a while, owing, you know, a lot. And they have now decided that the solution is to declare bankruptcy. But here's the good news. But nothing will change with your Roomba. The app still works. The robot vacuum discs. Right? It's a disc. Still works. We call ours Grandpa, although we don't have a room. We have an off-brand. We call it Grandpa.
Grandpa, please explain.
Well, because it wanders around the house and bumps into things. My wife.
No.
My wife is the best at naming things, and that was her invention, was to call it Grandpa. Yes. Grandpa. Put the dogs away. Grandpa's wandering around. But they sold to, because of their debt situation, they basically sold to, I think it's one of their suppliers, I think is how this winds up working. So they're still going to honor all their warranties. The app is still going to work. There's going to be no problem. The parts are, none of that's changing. It's just that the ownership of the company and the entity and the rights and all that is going to transfer to this other company. That's all it is. So it's a story without a story, if you want to look at it that way. We got another one of the, this is a very interesting one. I saw some whining about this on social media, and as is often the case, you look at what people say, and then you look up the facts, and you see whether the facts justify their complaints. And in this case, the answer is they do not. Have you seen the story about how California is making booster seats mandatory for teenagers up to the age of 16? Have you said, John?
No, but that? I love the idea. I can just picture it.
Just picture your 16-year-old in a booster seat.
I love it.
So that's kind of the headline takeaway is, oh my God, California, look at how terrible and intrusive they are. Now, this is the problem with bigotry, is once you've formed a negative perception of a person, an animal, a geographic region, a race, a religion, whatever, everything you hear thereafter kind of works its way through that filter, and typically, if it reinforces your bigotry, your belief, your bias, then you hear it and you see it. And, oh, yeah, see? And if it doesn't reinforce your bigotry or your bias, you kind of can't hear it. Or what actually does happen is people will twist the fact after they hear it to match their bigotry. It's a really interesting feature of human psychology is you tell somebody a true thing, they'll hear it, and then you ask them 3 weeks later, and they'll actually remember something different than what you told them because they've chosen to stick with their biases rather than challenge it with the new evidence. I don't want to get into the details, but that's a real thing. Okay, so California. California often does crazy, ridiculous, stupid things. In this case, what they've done is actually kind of interesting. It's a lot more nuanced than you would expect. Yes, they did raise the requirement on car seat safety rules all the way up to include 16-year-olds. That part is true. What you're not quite getting told is it does not require 16 or 15 or 14-year-olds to sit in a car seat. What it requires is that if you're over the age of 8, you don't have to be in a car seat anymore, but you do have to fit certain physical capabilities in order to sit in a regular seat because regular seats are not built for children. Most notably, the depth of the seat is not built for children. The positioning of the headrest is not built for children. And the most obvious one is that the safety belt, the seat belt, is not built for children. It's built for a full-size body. So the way this works is, if you've got a kid who's, let's say, 13, and, you know, 13-year-old size, they are allowed to sit in the seat as long as their back is against the back, meaning that their legs, you know, are long enough to reach all the way so that their knees are in front of the cushion. Knees bend comfortably at the edge of the seat. The belt goes across the shoulder between the neck and the arm, resting on the collarbone instead of against the neck. You know, as if you're short, like I always have had this problem with seatbelts, is they go up against my neck instead of against my collar. Shut up, John.
I'm just watching. I'm just listening.
I don't need your commentary, John.
I haven't said a word.
Come on, stink guy, John.
Yeah. Thank you, Michelle Salzman.
Oh, my goodness.
So that's the third rule. The fourth rule in their list is the lap belt as low as possible touching the thigh as opposed to just riding against the belly? And then can the child stay seated like this for the whole trip? And if they're in violation of any of those, then the child, theoretically in the law, is too small to be sitting properly in the seat. They need some kind of a car seat, whether it's the kind for infants or the kind for, you know, rear-facing, forward-facing, or the kind of assist ones that just raise them up a little bit, you know. If the child fails even one of those criteria, the driver could get a ticket. You want to take a stab at the size of this ticket, John, in California for improper car seat?
$345.
Close, $490.
What?
Almost $500.
For that ticket?
Yeah. If the kid's legs are not long enough.
My kid will be sitting in a booster seat. You ain't going to cost me
$500. This law brought to you by the booster seat lobby of California. So it's just one of those cases where, you know, if you've seen this on social media, it seems like one of those, California, stupid California, look at what they're trying to do. So intrusive. Now, it's still intrusive. I mean, they're still telling teenagers how to sit in cars. You can complain about that, but don't complain about the false facts. You know, always get your facts right before you start your complaint. 437-1620. John Pickens, that's Traffic on the Fives. Can you reach the front of the seat? Is your back all the way against the back of the chair?
I can, but I worry about you most of the time.
I'm not the one with my legs dangling over the chair right now.
Ooh, because you're standing.
Right. Well, that's true. All right, go on.
All right. So no accidents to report to you right now. But if you're on I-10 eastbound right around mile marker number 19, which is before you get to the Scambia Bay Bridge, there's an object in the road. That's all the information I have on it right now, but just be aware that there's something there. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
What's the most common thing people call that bridge?
Scambia Bay Bridge?
I call it the I-10 Bridge.
Okay.
I totally agree with you. The Scambia Bay Bridge is the technical, it's the correct name.
Right.
But every time, I know you have, you use
it. When you say I-10 Bridge, I think Mobile.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Weigh in, 437. I'm 437-1620. I'm curious because what happens is when you say 3 Mile Bridge, everybody knows.
Everybody knows it.
Yeah, okay. Even if you say the Chappie, everybody knows what that is. I assume most everybody knows.
For the most part.
But if you say the Pensacola Bay Bridge, then you got to start like get out your diagram and your Venn charts and your which one is that? And same thing
and
for Scambia Bay Bridge.
And, yeah.
That's right. No, so every time you say a Scambia Bay Bridge, I have to go through the process in my head of now which one is that? Okay, it's I-10. Well, why doesn't he just say the I-10 bridge? That's how I hear it.
Well, I'm
just curious
so
if anybody
sorry.
Else. No, it's,
boy.
I'm just curious if anybody else is like me. Very few
no.
people, luckily for them. Hey, yes. If you need to get your next vehicle, Frontier Motors has a great selection of good quality used cars. And one of the, you know, it's like 300 cars, okay? Lots of vans, lots of trucks, lots of Jeeps, lots of sedans, lots of minivans, SUVs. All okay, the value of that is you can go to one place and browse the buffet of cars. And this means that you do not have to meet 5 different salespeople in 5 different locations and drive all around town. And try to remember what something was like 3 cars ago. You know how hard that... By the time you drive, like, the 3rd car, everything starts to blur. It's just like looking at a house. Everything starts to blur a little bit. Well, also, the challenge of explaining to them your life story and where you're at and what you can afford and all that. Okay. You go to one place, Frontier Motors. They've got them all in one place. You talk to one person, as little as you like. Sit in a bunch of cars, drive a bunch of cars, and if you like something you found, great, buy it. If you found something close, send them looking for it. They do that for folks all the time. Or, you know, I don't know. Then you can go home and do other research. Whatever the case is, just start there. It's a great place to start. It's very convenient. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Remember when washing machines were made in America, were solidly built, and actually got your clothes clean? They aren't a thing of the past. They are Speed Queen, and they are available at Tops Appliance. Speed Queen washer and dryers combine durability and technology into the best washers and dryers in the world. Speed Queen will change the way you think about washing machines. They're built to last longer and deliver exceptional wash results. Unlike many other washers and dryers with plastic parts, Speed Queen uses commercial-grade steel and porcelain components designed to give you at least 25 years of reliable, trouble-free operation. That's why they come with lifetime warranties, the best warranties in the business. See store for warranty details. Speed Queen washers and dryers are built to work and built to last. If you want durability, innovation, and perfectly done laundry the first time, then you want Speed Queen. See these great Speed Queen washers and dryers for yourself at Tops Appliance on Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street.
Princeton Grove, a new affordable housing community in Crestview, is now taking applications for 1- and 2-bedroom apartments. Princeton Grove features a resort-style swimming pool, pickleball court, dog park, state-of-the-art fitness center, ENERGY STAR-rated appliances, granite countertops, and for a limited time, Princeton Grove is offering 1-bedroom apartments for $799 and 2 bedrooms at $1099 without any application fees. Princeton Grove Apartments in Crestview. Location, community, quality living. All starts at Princeton Grove.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, hear from local community leaders on how Sonny's Barbecue is helping to build a strong Pensacola. With four Sonny's locations serving the News Radio listening area, Navy Boulevard, Pine Forest, 9th Avenue, and Pace. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sonny that Eldon sent you.
Hi, this is Lisa Seltenreich with Morgan & Morgan, wishing everyone a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
May your Christmas be filled with joy, love, and laughter. This is Darren and Christy Costello at Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli, wishing you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Hi, this is Chris Burns with Burns Estate Planning and Wealth Advisors. I want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
This is Sarah Gatewood with Florida Power & Light, wishing you a Happy Holidays to you and your family from ours.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings 5 till 9 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Oh boy, Wabbit Twax.
Oh, we are getting a lot of input on the correct way to refer to the I-10 bridge, which is the correct way to refer to it.
Right, okay. We'll let you win today, Andrew.
My favorite text that we got on the subject, because John prefers to call it the Escambia Bay Bridge, which actually is the technical name. It's not the... What did you say? What was the memorial designation?
David Bogan Bridge.
God, no one would have any idea what you were talking about.
My point exactly.
Somebody texted in, born and raised here, I've always called it the I-10 Bridge. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I love that. That's great. Oh, but people talking about all kinds of stuff. You know, like, does Austin, is in the afternoon. Somebody says that Austin likes to use the word freeway.
I guess so.
Does he?
I guess so.
Or is it talking about Chris? I just don't know which one they're talking about. Austin's from the East Coast. Chris is from West Coast, California? I don't know. Where's Chris from?
Lived there for a long time.
Anyway, but he's lived here a long time. I don't actually use the word freeway ever.
No, I've never heard of it.
It's the interstate or the highway. Interstates or interstates.
Chris says it.
Okay, all right, thank you for clarifying. But I-10, I-110, those are interstates. 98, 90, 29, those are highways.
Mm-hmm. Just say Highway 29?
I don't know why you...
Pensacola Boulevard.
I'm not going to Tallahassee on the highway. It's the interstate.
Right.
Okay, all right, move on. But it cracks
okay.
me. Listen, one of my favorite things about this show, I'll give you two things. Two things are my favorites. One is if I say something wrong, you will correct me. I love that. I cherish that, honestly, because everybody needs fact checkers. Everybody needs editors. And I love that either I say it wrong or if I ask, you'll know. And that's the other one is I love that when I ask questions that are in the grand scheme of the most important things in the world, this is, it's ranked about where that tennis player is ranked very low. But everybody's got an opinion. I love that. That's fantastic.
See, people are saying Bay Bridge and Gulf Breeze Bridge. David Bogan Bridge.
The Gulf Breeze Bridge.
Yeah, 3 Mile.
Nobody calls it that. The Gulf Breeze Bridge.
I know, but Bay Bridge, people know what that means.
Well, the Bay Bridge, that's in, Fort Walton.
Easy.
Or Mobile.
Easy.
Man, if you told me the Bay, I wouldn't know what you're talking about.
I said Escambia Bay. Right,
let's just go to Steve in the newsroom with our headline.
Oh,
Steve?
Sorry.
Caught him by surprise. Hey, Steve, you there? Steve Taylor, everybody, in the newsroom
with
our headlines.
Good morning.
Do you have headlines for us?
Oh, yes, I do. I was in the middle of putting together a brand new story for the next newscast. But as it happens, a new report is saying that the U.S. land strike in Venezuela is going to be carried out by the CIA. That's the strike which happened yesterday, I think. The New York Times and CNN are reporting that the CIA drone hit a remote dock on the Venezuelan coast earlier this month, and the network is citing sources saying the U.S. believed a facility was being used by the Tren de Aragua gang as part of the operation to store and ship the drugs in that area. So I guess it was confirmed that it was actually on the Venezuelan coast, which we were speculating earlier. A winter storm system is heading this way, well, basically heading this way, but only bringing cold weather to us because up north they're getting all the rain and the snow and the wind, which makes us lucky that we live here and not up there anymore. The storm could affect large swaths of the U.S. from Detroit and New York City to Philadelphia. Some places up there can see 6 to 10 inches of snow. New England ice is accumulating, making travel dangerous. And for us, yeah, it's sunny, few clouds, 31 degrees. I'll take it. And that's what's happening.
All right. Thanks so much, Steve. 654 on News Radio 92. Now I got people telling me about the eye in front of the...
I know, or the...
And that's... Oh, sorry. That's right. That's true. I raised all my life in the Midwest. Went out to live in Arizona. And Arizona's like, you know, the suburb of California. Okay. And so in California, they have they talk about Interstate 10. They'll call it the 10, or the 17 is a road in Phoenix. And so they put a the in front of all of their interstate names. And yeah. I learned to do that as a way of adapting to the local weirdnesses. Cervantes is not how you say that word, by the way.
tell me, please.
No, you adapt. You adapt to how people talk. Oh, okay. So I adapted to the 10. And then when we moved here, because we lived in Oregon after that, it was the same thing. And then we moved here and had to unlearn what I had badly learned when I lived out there. So, you know, that's right. Regionalism.
Yeah, because I had to ask people when I was in Phoenix. It was like the 10.
What does that mean?
Were you talking about what? 10 the o'clock? Or, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
I didn't know. And they kind of looked at me funny.
They do, because they don't know they do it, or they don't think about it.
Right.
So, not these world travelers anyway. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
All right. So, we're still dealing with an object that is on I-10 eastbound before the David Bogan Bridge. Yeah. Escambia Bay Bridge, the I-10 Bridge, however you want to call it. I-10 eastbound, mile marker number 19. Other than that, things are rolling smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
I feel so bad that I did that to you right in the middle of here. I do feel a little bit bad.
I know, but you laugh.
All right. I do. Me. Yeah, well, that's true. I don't obviously feel all that bad about it. 437-1620, if you're thinking about buying or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty are just really good at this. In the height of the market, you know, a couple years ago when every home sold instantly for cash above list price in a day, I mean, basically that's how that worked, you get multiple offers, they were selling well over 200 homes, like 230. 2 years ago, they were at 175, last year at 165, and you would think, well, you know, I mean, that's still a lot. It's still 3 to 4 per week, which is an amazing number. This year, they're actually back up 30%, almost to 200. I haven't checked with her this week, but a couple of weeks ago, they were at 180 with 16 closings pending in the year. So, you know, right close to 200, which is amazing in a down market. And you say, well, why? Ask her. I mean, call her and ask her. Listen, I've told you many times, if you're going to hire somebody for a professional service, go talk to 2 or 3. You don't have to talk to 10, but talk to 2 or 3. And then pick the one that makes the most sense out of that. Just make sure you include Christina on that list because she sells a lot of homes. And one of the things she says is that they're actually selling homes that other people were unable to sell, which has got to be frustrating for the people trying to sell a home and for the realtors too. And why? Well, I don't know, but you know, I have a lot of theories, but they just know how to do all the things right to get you all the way through to closing. That comes from experience, and they have it. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty. I have a story, and I don't say this enough. I probably should say it more often, but I don't know what I think about this story. I'm conflicted. I'll tell you what's going on. We are preventing certain Europeans from coming here. The Trump administration is preventing certain Europeans from coming here, and they were denying their visas, which is not something we do very often. And the reason that we are denying their visas is because these are people who were involved in sort of European censorship against companies like Twitter. And so these 5 key players were involved in what Marco Rubio calls the global censorship industrial complex. And they were bringing rules on like the EU's Digital Services Act, the DSA, that's several years old now. And that was used and is still used to censor, for example, right-wing or conservative opinions, although, you know, the folks in Brussels, one of the places where they oversee this stuff, they deny this. And their claim is that they're controlling disinformation. And of course, we've had this debate a lot in the United States, you know, COVID, post-COVID, Trump, all the things related to whether you're just allowing free speech or whether you're allowing people to lie or whether, you know, to what degree you have to allow people to lie in order to protect free speech or to misrepresent or whatever. Those are all really interesting conversations. Well, in Europe, they've kind of gone the censorship route. And these five people, you wouldn't know any of their names. I mean, if you're really into this stuff, you would. But otherwise, you'd never have heard of any of these people. And they think that they are the ones who are standing for free speech. And, like, for example, Elon Musk actually blocked the European Commission from promoting themselves through advertising on Twitter after they fined him a massive amount of money. And we, you know, Musk says he's for free speech and punishing them for their violations of it. They say they're for free speech. The depriving people of entry visas is interesting. I'm not generally in favor of viewpoint discrimination, but if people are activists in favor of censorship, is that anti-American?
Stream us at NewsRadio 9.